Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We all have the ability to run as hard as we want to and to run as far as we can.
Yeah.
And just know that that run may take us places that we never expect.
Welcome to Game Recognizes Game, brought to you by Apple's Health. So shortly after I started at ESPN, I was getting these messages from some of my mentors, and they said, hey, guess what? Ray Cole has been posting about you. And I'm like, man, that's fantastic. Who's Ray Cole? Well, I took it upon myself to find out exactly who Ray Cole is. And man, guess what? Nothing short of a legend. Over 50 years in broadcasting, in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And after over 50 years, you know what he did? He decided to pay homage to all the people that inspired him in all those decades in the broadcasting industry. So he decided to interview all the best in sports, media, and business. And he wrote a book to tell those stories. Hanging with the Winners. Yes, sir. And it is my honor to have sat down with him to hear all those stories. He is candid, he is kind, he is so generous with his insights, and especially those beloved stories over 5 decades. Man, it is my sincere pleasure. Game recognizes Mr. Ray Cole.
It's not every day you get to hang with a legend. Mr. Ray Cole, I know he does not like the fact that I just called him a legend, but Mr. Cole, allow me to indulge me a little bit here. 5 decades in the broadcasting industry, in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame, chairman of the ABC Board of Governors, author of what I call the Bible, Hanging with Winners, the Bible of Greatness, and all those little tools and pearls of wisdom you need to get to those goals that you have. And something that I call the list. This is the list of all the winners that Ray Cole interviewed. This is a list that Barbara Walters herself would be envious of. Guess what? She's on the list too. Ray, thank you so much for being here.
Marty, it's a pleasure. Game recognizes game. I think that's a fascinating title for the podcast you're doing. I think that anytime people can sit down and you can have one person sort of acknowledge and recognize and respect the winning qualities and attributes of another, I think that can be very instructive and hopefully for your viewers today, one that they'll find maybe even inspirational.
You know, Ray, you've been a mentor towards me, and we've become friends. And as I got to learn more about you, I realized you're the OG in Game Recognizes Game. This whole book is recognizing winners and recognizing the game, the people that are top of their game. And as I got to know you and realized, man, you've been doing this so long, and in your retirement, you still do it on a daily basis. Whether it's a college athlete, or it's a broadcaster who might enter the Broadcast Hall of Fame, or it's someone doing great charity work, you've always got out of your way to recognize those folks. Why is that?
I don't know. I spoke to a group of young women, college women's golfers, over the weekend, and I told them I didn't write the book to dole or dispense advice, but rather I just wanted to share stories and anecdotes of people that enrich my career and really grace my life in many ways over the course of those five decades in the broadcasting business, to share their stories and the lessons that they revealed. And I did that with the hope that doing so would inspire others in the same way that all those who appear in that book, yeah, whether they were profiled or interviewed for the book, might inspire others as well.
If you think about all those folks that you put in that book, there's got to be some that just got you, like just maybe that first one that you knew you were in the presence of greatness. Was there anyone that, I mean, because at some point you have to reflect, every time we say five decades, you got to pinch yourself.
Yeah, I would say the most frequently asked question I get when I speak to an audience, almost always the first or second question, if there's one person in the book who stands out, whose relationship may be the most meaningful, who is it? And I almost always point to Michael J. Fox. I got to know Michael when he was starring in a show on ABC called Spin City. People think of his career and they think of Family Ties, they think of the Back to the Future trilogy.
Sure.
But for me, my connection to Michael started when he was on that show, and it had just moved in to the top 10 of all network primetime programs when he learned that he had Parkinson's. And so we maintained a connection going forward. And then I had the opportunity to start doing things with Michael around the game of golf. Michael never picked up a golf club until after he was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
That's amazing.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Golf is a challenging enough game to pick it up. I had him come out to a pro-am event for a tournament that's on the Champions Tour in Des Moines. And we had so much fun playing golf together that day. And we had thousands of people following us, many of them Parkinson's patients, probably more caregivers to Parkinson's patients. And to watch how they reacted to being around Michael and how he inspired them and making clear the point that, boy, you can be dealt a tough hand and have adversity, but live life. I mean, Michael has a great philosophy. It's in my book.
Yeah.
Okay. Life is a ride. Strap in, hang on, and keep your eyes wide open.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that a great philosophy?
Unbelievable.
You know, if we could all do that. So yeah, Michael J. Fox sort of stands out as someone, and I think I've played golf with Michael four or five times. As you know, I'm on the board of the Broadcasters Foundation of America. We have a celebrity golf outing here in the New York area every fall, and we're playing at Sleepy Hollow, and we win the tournament. And I'll never forget.
They you and posted, Michael win the tournament.
Yeah, our team did.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy named John Buccigross, ESPN Sports Center. He's big into hockey. John was in our group. We just had a blast. And afterwards, they took a picture of us in the golf cart, Michael and I, going out.
Yeah.
And they took that picture after we won the tournament, and they put it in the publication in the weeks to follow. And anybody who's a Back to the Future fan will remember at the end of the first Back to the Future movie, and you think it's over, but Doc comes screaming back in the DeLorean. He grabs Michael. He says, "We gotta go, we gotta go. Doc," and his girlfriend was there, and he said, bring her with you because she's a part of this too. And they get in the DeLorean, and he talks about the street being closed, Michael did to Christopher Lloyd's character, yeah. Doc.
Yeah.
And he says, "The street's closed," and he says, "Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads." Well, the caption they put on that picture with Michael and I in the golf cart was, "Cart paths? Where we're going, we don't need cart paths." It's one of my favorite pictures of all
time. That's fantastic. I need a cart path, by the way. All right, you mentioned Iowa a few times, and you've been described as the ordinary guy from Iowa. And I beg to differ, because it sounds, with this body of work, this labor of love, there's an extraordinary guy from Iowa. Where did you realize that, wow, look at my life. Look where it's taken me. Look at the people I have met, the connections I made, the relations. There had to be a point in your career that you knew you were on that right path.
You know, I don't know, Marty, that any of us ever stopped to think and be that introspective at the time. I did write in my book that in 2008, I had the opportunity to attend the Oscars, and then in the summer, the ESPYs, and then that fall, the Emmys. And it wasn't until I was writing the book a dozen years later that I reflected back and go, wow, I attended all of those events in 1 year. As you described me, that was Ben Sherwood, a good friend of mine, former president of ABC News, who went on to become president of the ABC Television Network, who described me as this otherwise ordinary guy from Iowa. That's who you're quoting. I'm not sure until I was working on the book that I took the time to really think about what a special time that was. And the people, as you pointed out, the connections I was able to forge and the relationships that helped me, not just in business, but in life. And I think ultimately that's what making connections are. And that's not something, I think that happens naturally and organically, and you don't, because I get asked that question, especially by younger people when I talk to high school or college students. Oh man, how do you go about forming that network and everything? And I says, the way you do that is you be involved. Almost everything I did started in the TV business at a little ABC station in Sioux City, Iowa. And then I had the opportunity to take over as chief operating officer responsibility for a number of stations, from Sioux City to Des Moines to the Quad Cities to Lincoln, Nebraska to Providence, Rhode Island to Sarasota, Florida. And being involved in the community is what helped, I think, set me off to expand my network. And then as I got involved in the industry, first in the Iowa Broadcasters Association, that circle expanded. Then I was elected to the ABC Board of Governors, later elected to be chairman of that board. I had the opportunity, they asked me to stay on in the chairman emeritus role. So I was on that board for 15 years. And that's where I had the opportunity. A lot of the people in the book, whether it was working with Robin Roberts for a special town hall edition of Good Morning America from the Science Center of Iowa in downtown Des Moines, or whether it was George Stephanopoulos and Diane Sawyer helping produce a presidential debate in the lead up to the Iowa caucuses. And it just happens that way. It's not something that I don't think you can force in any way.
You have a theme in your book that talks about the power of just showing up. And for a young person, you know, you mentioned that the high schooler, the young kid might ask you that, how do you forge those relationships? Now, you've had the good fortune of all the different roles, and as your role increased, you just met that many more people and your network expanded. But let's talk about the power of showing up, because I know as an employer, as a mentor, when I lead large teams, I always remember that young employee that just shows up. And all of a sudden, he's part of my network, I'm part of his network. And is that a piece of advice for young people?
Yeah, I oftentimes will cite something that inspired me to write the book. We had an ABC television station in Lincoln, Nebraska. Over the 20 years we owned that station, I probably visited Lincoln, Nebraska 150 times. And I would always stay in the downtown area, which is very close to the University of Nebraska campus. I'd always go over to Memorial Stadium, a famous football stadium on the campus there, home of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And on the northwest entrance to that stadium, emblazoned on the wall, is a great quote from one of Nebraska's favorite sons. He was a statesman, former Secretary of State. He was a presidential candidate. His name was William Jennings Bryan, a long time ago. And that quote from William Jennings Bryan reads on the stadium, "Destiny is no matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. It's not a thing to be waited for. It is a thing to be achieved." To your point, you have to step out. Jennings' quote is so simple and yet so profound. Okay, all of us have the ability to develop winning qualities and traits and attributes that give us a better chance to be successful in our careers and hopefully happier in our personal lives. And when I speak, I talk about a philosophy where your personal life and your professional life are two halves of the same sphere. I don't think you can be truly successful and or happy if you're dividing that up in some way. I don't think you can be as good of an employee as you can be if you're not happy at home. And I don't think you can be as good a husband or wife or parent if you're not happy in your job.
That's right.
So they are so interconnected. And I do think that you have to show up. And it's not just showing up at work. It's showing up for your partner in life and your kids and the others, you know? Yeah. I tell people all the time, winning is not something that you can define. That's the other question I get often. So what does it take to be a winner? And I said, okay, if writing this book accomplished nothing else, it's that being a winner is a very, very subjective thing.
That's right.
It is, it's not quantifiable. There are things that you can point to, but the bottom line is I think that if you can go through life and you can have committed colleagues, if you can have caring friends, and most especially, if you can have a loving family, then you're a winner.
That's amazing. And let me write that down. You know, that whole concept of, you know, find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Old saying, but true.
It's so true. And I know I'm three decades into what I do, and I love every day going to work because I've been blessed with the gift of loving what I do. And this is a new chapter for me. And I embarked on this concept of game recognizes game because I've spent a lifetime helping people overcome, typically physical and oftentimes the emotional component, mental component comes into that same play. But to do what I have done for that many years, I've had to draw inspiration, you know, from others, you know. Whether it's a lyric in a song, a quote, seeing someone's business accolades, or a music performance, or obviously, you know, the folks like Michael Jordan and Tom Brady and the other GOATs. And looking at the list that I call the list from your book, it is just breathtaking, the body of different folks. Dick Vitale, Jim Valvano, Bob Iger.
Funny story. I'm sitting at home one day and my wife comes into the family room where I'm watching TV and she says, "The FedEx man just dropped off this package for you. You might want to see it. It's from Bob Iger." So I rip open the FedEx
right away.
Package and inside is an advance copy of his book that was about to come out. It was on the New York Times bestseller list forever. It's one of the great business books and it's called The Ride of a Lifetime. And he sent me an advance copy, and on the inside cover, he wrote, "You were a huge part of this ride, and it was an honor for me. Best always, Bob." I mean, that's very humbling. So when I wrote my book, Marty, I sent him an advance copy, and on the inside, I wrote, "Bob, we've both enjoyed the rides of a lifetime. Yours was the Matterhorn. Mine was the teacups. Best always, Ray."
That's the best. Mine was Space Mountain, by the way.
It was. Well, you're a hyper roller coaster kind of guy.
Absolutely. So. If I'm not moving like at 100 miles an hour, I'm not happy, right? You know, another concept. You know, Bob Iger. You know, Dick Vitale, Jimmy Valvano, and you name
it. Let's talk about Jimmy Valvano. You mentioned him, so yeah. I'm going to go back to him. So, as you know, I'm involved where I can be to help the V Foundation.
Sure.
I met Dick Vitale in 1989. He introduced me to Jim Valvano in 1991. And then, as you know, tragically, we lost Jim Valvano in 1993. Weeks after he gave the speech of all speeches, right down the road here, Madison Square Garden, at the very first ever ESPYs, 1993. He spoke for 11
Coach K
minutes.
Coach K helped him up the
he
steps.
He did.
Yes.
Coach K, Dick Vitale, Joe Theismann stepped up to help also down off the stage, his good friends. I had the pleasure of spending time with Jim Valvano. And you talk about, again, if there's someone who inspired me in the same way kind of Michael J. Fox did.
Sure.
I invited Jim Valvano to come to Sioux City, Iowa, where he spoke as a keynote speaker at a sports event that I was involved in. We raised money for deserving kids organizations, most of them youth athletic type organizations in town. And Jim came in, and I asked him if he would do it in the round. And he goes, I said, well, nobody's ever agreed to do it before. I said, Dick Vitale was my guest speaker a few years ago, and Dick said, now I want to be at a podium at the front of there. He said, no, I'll do it. So we put a wireless mic on him. We literally put him in like a boxing ring at the in the middle of the room. And he could walk around, and he, I swear, he made eye contact with every one of the 1,000 people in the room that night.
The gift.
Amazing speaker. People who've never seen that. And I speak to young people, and I said, you even know who Jim Valvano is? Well, Jim passed away 32 years ago. These kids, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, they don't know who Jim Valvano is. I said, go back to your frat house, go back to your dorm, Google Jim Valvano speech. And I says, you will not be disappointed. So to back up, being around him, he would always preach the four E's. Exuberance, excitement, energy, enthusiasm. The four E's. And he would always focus the most on enthusiasm. And I think I heard Jim speak and was with him 3-4 times. He always quoted Ralph Waldo Emerson. Okay? And he had a favorite quote from Emerson that focused on enthusiasm, which was, nothing great is ever achieved without enthusiasm. And you think about it, it's so simple, but so true. And so Jim Valvano was really special. And to be involved with the V Foundation, to watch, I actually produced a telethon in Sarasota in advance of Dick Vitale's annual gala that he does every year to raise money for pediatric cancer research. And the great Leslie Visser, who's contributed to my book, and Dick were the co-host of this telethon.
She's terrific.
Oh, and to watch the two of them interact and so committed. And Leslie was also, like Dick, she was, I think she was a founding board member for the V Foundation when they set that up. And to see what they do to not just continue, but to really honor Jimmy V's legacy, it's pretty special.
Yeah. You know, speaking about enthusiasm, when Jimmy V's North Carolina State Wolfpack won the national championship and that last second shot against Houston, he was running around not knowing who to hug.
He was trying.
Who's it? I'm walking around. It was fabulous. There's the enthusiasm. He wanted to celebrate with whoever wanted to hug him.
He was so upset with Derek Wittenberg because Derek was the star of that 1983 national championship team. And if you remember, Derek put up the ball.
Air ball.
He, to this day, continues to say it was the greatest pass in the history of the NCAA tournament. Lorenzo Charles grabbed that ball out of the air and smashed it through. And typically, Jimmy V would hug Derek Wittenberg, but they were just mobbing each other with the crazy ending. And they, you know, remember that Houston team was, I think they were favored to win by 20 points. It was just an unbelievable story of underdog coming through, if you will. So anyway, Derek Wittenberg also serves to this day on the V Foundation Board of Directors.
That's fantastic.
It's just amazing how the people, a lot of the people that whose lives were touched by Jimmy V continue to honor him through service to what we call the victory over cancer, which ultimately, you know, Dick Vitale talks all the time, our victory, where we cut down the nets, will have nothing to do with the basketball game. It'll be have everything to do with finding the cure for cancer and achieving that ultimate victory that matters most.
And what a tragedy that someone with those four E's, Jimmy V, and being given one of the worst cancers you can possibly have. And he was fighting and fighting and fighting. And when he gave that speech, and I tell any young person, you need to have a better day, you watch that. Like when he says, don't give up, don't ever give up.
Yeah.
That is a moniker for life, no matter what you are going through.
Yeah, there was so much to take away from. I mean, that is still the mantra of the V Foundation today. Don't give up, don't ever give up. But to me, the most compelling part of that amazing speech was a life philosophy. To live every day in a way that has you laugh, think, and cry. Engage with people in a way that causes laughter, okay? Do something, read something, do something that moves you into deep thought.
Yeah.
And then also, just as importantly, don't be afraid to have your emotions move to tears. Laugh, think, cry. He said, you do that every day, 7 days a week, you're going to have a heck of a life.
That's amazing. And I've taken those from that exact quote. I have two young boys, Jack and Austin. And when they were old enough to talk, every night at dinner, I'd look at them and say, what made you laugh today? And they're like, most of the time, like, oh, come on, Dad. No, tell me. What made you laugh? And they have to stop and think of something silly that may have happened early in the day, and they laugh again. And still to this day, we do that because that laughter is medicine, you know. And I'll never forget when Jimmy V, the timer for the broadcast, was like telling him to cut the speech short.
No.
And
he goes, yeah, like I care.
Like I care. That was fantastic.
You know, he uttered some words in Italian that a clean version would be translated into go pound sand. A more adult rated version would be go yourself.
Exactly.
So it was great.
You could say those words. It sounds like a good episode of The Sopranos, right?
Apos isn't magic. It's science, clinically proven to reduce pain and improve mobility without invasive procedures or meds. Apos, precisely what you need.
This is, I know what you think it is. It's a medical device.
That, no kidding.
That is worn on the foot. This is Apos Health. It is a medical device that has over 150,000 people in terms of clinical studies that is proven to decrease chronic knee pain and chronic back pain. Customized to you and only need to be worn about up to an hour a day. And Apos, our title sponsor of the show, is honored to gift you a pair. We'll set you up, get you fitted. And you see these pods on the bottom, they're customized to you. So when your heel hits the ground, all the muscles that have stopped firing, that have stopped giving you the stability because of chronic inflammation, the pods force them to fire and force those muscles to engage. It is an absolutely amazing product. I'm honored to give you one of these.
Thank you. It's fashionable enough, I can wear it more than an hour a day, can I?
You don't need to, but you can.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I can't help to think that it's been 5 years since the pandemic. Everything changed. The world just changed.
So reflected thoughts on the pandemic 5 years ago from this week. One of the people that we talked with was Ann Sweeney, who was former co-chair of the Disney Media Network. She was responsible for overseeing the ABC television network as part of that. I wrote the book during the pandemic. It made it easier because I'm sitting at home, didn't have a lot to do, like most of us, right?
Right.
So we did a lot of our interviews.
I tried to play golf, by the way.
Yeah. We did a lot of interviews by Zoom and so forth because everybody was available, right? This is what she said about that time that you're referring to, because it was an interesting time for people to maybe reflect on things. While most of us always think of growth as having a trajectory, sometimes it's more linear in nature. I think that's true about the growth people have experienced in this time of the pandemic. People learn things about themselves that they really weren't going to learn any other way. They had to be thrown into the deep end, and they had to become wildly uncomfortable with their life and the way they ran things. I hope a lot of people come out of this time as better people. And I think most of us did.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I just think we talk about adversity.
The power of the human spirit.
Yeah. It's just interesting. And if I can, I'd like to share one other anecdote because it just reminded me of it. Ann Sweeney has one of my favorite anecdotes in the entire book. And it has everything to do with the concept of never being satisfied. And that's one of the concepts in the book. You talk about winning qualities. Well, one of the things is you can never be satisfied. You have to always be looking to achieve that next level and always looking to continue your growth. She used the word trajectory. Make sure that trajectory is always up and probably going in directions you're not always in control of, but just hang in there, right?
Yeah.
So she shared a great story about never being satisfied. She's sitting in her office in Burbank, and she gets a phone call from Kobe Bryant. And obviously, Disney,
she took the call, I hope.
ESPN, ABC had the NBA, and it was a big property, especially the NBA Finals are important franchise for the network. And she knew who Kobe was, but she had never met Kobe, and she gets a phone call from him. And he said, Ms. Sweeney, we've never met before, but I just read on the front page of the Los Angeles Times that you're retiring from your role with the Walt Disney Company. She says, yes, I am. And he said, well, I'm about to retire. It's going to come out from NBA. I'm going to retire from basketball. And I just thought it's interesting that here we are at similar crossroads in our lives, and maybe we should get together and talk about that. She says, I'd love to. A few days later, she's sitting at a coffee shop in El Segundo, California, across from the Lakers practice facility to meet him for a cup of coffee. And she's sitting there. Kobe walks in, and the way she tells the story, hardly even sat down, and he introduced himself, and he says, I just couldn't wait to meet you, and I have to ask you this question. Do you ever get tired of being the most powerful woman in television? She said, yes, I do. I have a question for you. Do you ever get tired of being Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest basketball players ever? And he goes, yes, I do, because I am so much more. Mm. Now think about that.
Yeah.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
Shortly before he was tragically killed in that helicopter crash with his daughter, he won an Oscar.
That's right.
He was so much more. He was moving on to the next stage of that life of
his. Is this the universal sign for the Oscar?
Yeah, it is. It is. I spoke to a large group of employees at the Katz Media Company about 2 years ago after my book came out. Maybe people don't know, Katz, K-A-T-Z, is the world's largest media company, media representation company. They represent the on-air and digital assets of over 3,500 radio stations and 400 television stations. They had me come in and I spoke. And I got back to my home in Des Moines, and about a week later, I get a note from a young woman who was in the audience that day. She had just started at Katz, fresh out of college. She was probably the youngest person in the audience. And she told me in this note how much she enjoyed hearing me speak, and especially what the Ann Sweeney Kobe Bryant anecdote meant to her. Mm. She said, I went home that night after you spoke, and by coincidence, I watched Forrest Gump. And I'm going, where is this going?
Yeah.
And she sends me this quote, Tom Hanks in the movie as Forrest Gump said, and it's this. I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road. And when I got there, I thought maybe I'd run to the end of town. And when I got there, I thought maybe I'd just run across Greenbow County. And I figured since I've run this far, maybe I'd just run across the great state of Alabama. And that's what I did. And then she says, Mr. Cole, all I could think about watching that movie and that scene was Kobe Bryant. And how tragic it was he didn't get to finish his run. Mm. Wow.
Wow.
This 23-year-old girl just starting in the business, I wrote the next day a note, an email to her CEO, and I says, this girl is going places.
Yeah.
You develop her. We talk about a trajectory. She's going to be on a steep one. And I said to people when I share that, just think about that. We all have, to finish this metaphor out, we all have the ability to run as hard as we want to and to run as far as we can. And we ought to always take advantage of that opportunity whenever we can, wherever we can.
Yeah.
And just know that that run may take us places that we never expect.
Her ability so eloquently show her emotion is almost what Jimmy V said. Don't be afraid to show that emotion. And, you know, you could read Kobe Bryant's quotes over and over on social media every day, how powerful that was. And it's got to be a burden, you know, to be one of the greatest of all time. And back to her, that young employee from Katz, I know when I've received that handwritten note from an intern, a volunteer, someone who asked to observe me, you remember the handwritten note. Now, you don't really remember the email. Yeah. You remember that handwritten note.
I don't know if I have it with me. I usually keep it in my book. I do. Here it is. Look at this. This is the Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks excerpt that she taped to this card and sent it to me.
That's amazing.
And I keep it in my book.
That's amazing. You know, we're going back and forth on all these traits of the winners. We talked about adversity, working through adversity. You talk about curiosity also.
Yeah.
And always being curious. And I want to go back to never be satisfied, because I want to challenge that for a second. But let's talk about curiosity. Always being curious. I think it was Bob Iger that talked about that.
Yeah, several did. So we profiled 30 people in the book. We interviewed around 80. And so there's lots in this book, especially in chapter 7, what I call nuggets, that people contributed. And so we asked them about traits and qualities, winning traits. And the number one thing, let's put this up front, the number one thing was integrity and character. And from that, they talked about to be successful, the foundation has to consist of kindness, respect, empathy, and that all contributes to your character. I'm involved in an organization in Des Moines called, it's based at, on Drake University's campus in Des Moines, and it's called the Ray Center, and it's named after former Governor Robert Ray. And they have a program called Character Counts. And it's serving millions of kids, not only in this country, but in, I think, 30 countries. And the Character Counts program is not just for students. It's also being integrated into schools and governments and businesses. And the six pillars of character are trustworthiness, responsibility, respect, fairness, caring, citizenship. Character, good character. Warren Buffett, I think it's in the book, Warren Buffett, who was vital in Cap Cities acquiring ABC years ago, early in my career, and then years later, having a role with Disney acquiring Cap Cities ABC. And Warren Buffett from Omaha, and we have some mutual friends, and I occasionally would see him at a meeting because of his connections to ABC. He had a great line, integrity. It's something that you acquire by the thimbleful. And if you're not careful, you can give it up by the bucketful.
Wow.
And we have seen people, you, Marty, and I have seen people, all of us have, people who have everything going for them, and they make a bad decision. And it comes from forgetting one or more of those good character traits that I just cited. And so that's number one, having good character and always being aware of the importance of having integrity, number one. Curiosity was number two cited. That first one did not surprise me. That's what people would cite, the kindness and character.
Sure. Okay. Integrity, sure.
Curiosity was cited, was the second most often cited trait. And it was about always being curious. Bob Iger, I think it was his quote, you know, curiosity is oftentimes the fuel source for winning decisions. Because curiosity is what helps us develop new relationships. You know, if you're not curious about people, you know, you're not going to form those new relationships.
Everyone has a story.
Yeah, it helps us. It helps us develop new perceptions, and maybe most importantly, it helps us see that maybe the way we've been doing things is not the only way or the best way. And so you develop new concepts. It sort of dovetails with what Bob Iger said.
Sure.
If you're not curious, you might not be making the best decision or the winning decision, if you will. So yeah, curiosity is pretty important for all of us because that helps us grow.
That's right. I've noticed with folks who are still at the top of their game, whatever game they're in, even as they get older, they stay curious. And that gives them that fuel, wanting to learn more. When you see someone in their 60s doing social media every day, you know, they want to grow, they want to learn, they get inspired by their younger generation. And I find that just fascinating. And we also know that type, as they get older, they stop growing also. And that's a shame. And the brain goes to pot too, you know, with the lack of curiosity, you know? So we got integrity, we got character, we have never losing curiosity. What else do we have?
Well, another important concept is not just accepting failure as part of what we do, but really embracing adversity and understanding that. A lot of the people profiled in the book have faced great adversity. You know, Barbara Walters, you mentioned at the outset of our conversation, you know, she was thrown out of her co-anchor job on ABC with Harry Reasoner, and had to sort of reinvent herself. And she came up at a time where women were not warmly received. Let's just be candid. There was a lot of sexist, misogynistic tendencies in our television business and most business.
Most industries, sure.
Back when Barbara was starting. And to see her go on, I describe her as the first lady of broadcast journalism. I had just some wonderful occasions to spend time with Barbara. She overcame a lot of adversity. Robin Roberts overcame a different kind of adversity, health adversity. She had breast cancer, and then the treatments that she received for her breast cancer contributed years later to a phenomenon condition called MDS that required a bone marrow transplant from her sister, and boy, she faced real serious adversity.
A 1-2 punch there.
Jay Williams, who's profiled in my book from ESPN.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes from...
Lives in my town in Westport, Connecticut.
He's great.
Yeah.
I've had the pleasure of spending time with he and his wife. Wonderful couple. Jay Williams goes from being the number two person in the draft, you know, to back up. He led Duke to the national championship his sophomore year. He gets beat by 1 point in the NCAA tournament by the eventual national champion his junior year, and then he decides to enter the draft. Importantly, he was the first athlete to graduate with a degree from Duke University after 3 years. So it's not like he left early. He left with his degree. He's number two in the draft. He plays his rookie year with the Chicago Bulls, and then he's in a horrible motorcycle accident. Something he shouldn't have been doing. By contract, he was prohibited from doing things like skydiving and riding motorcycles and other dangerous things. And it was the end of his career. Devastating for him. And yet, he reinvents himself in ways that saw him overcome tremendous adversity. You know, there's another fun quote, favorite quote in the book. It comes from a guy named Jerry Madelon. I don't know if you know that name. He goes by GMAT. Jerry is a longtime talent executive at ESPN. He discovered talent like Stuart Scott, the late, great Stuart Scott, and he developed a lot of talent that's still on the air at ESPN. He has a great quote, and that is, "If you want to impress me, show me your accolades. If you want to impact me, show me your scars." A lot of the people in this book personify that. They understand that being honest and sharing that adversity is part of their personal growth in ways that can help others learn and grow as well. And my saying for this is, when it comes to that, is you just got to stand back at life and sometimes and what I say is it's not so much surviving the storm as learning how to dance in the rain. Okay, if you can do that, okay, yeah you're going to deal with things. You know, that adversity manifests itself in a myriad of ways in one's lifetime.
It's just rain then.
Yeah, it's just, then it's you just... know, and if you can dance in that rain, you're doing okay.
Hello, everyone. Exclusively for Game Recognizes Game listeners, our sponsor, I'm so proud to be in partnership with, Noble, giving our listeners a 30% discount code for all their products that'll help you achieve all your goals. Please go to nobleproject.com/game to receive your 30% discount. That's www.nobulproject.com/game.
I can't help but think about the concept of fear or the fear of failure and then courage. Because I've spoken to a lot of people and think about things every day. I've always thought that fear drove me, the fear of not getting out of the neighborhood, the fear of not having this big life that I wanted.
I just mentioned the late, great Stuart Scott. Man, we continue to honor him at the V Foundation with an event here in New York every year for a fund that underwrites research for cancers that affect minorities in disproportionate ways. His daughters are just wonderful, wonderful people that carry on his legacy, the Stuart Scott legend, if you will.
Sure.
Stuart had, to your fear angle, what Stuart said was, losers worry about failure. Winners worry about regrets. Again.
Yeah.
Simple yet profound. In other words, don't worry about failing.
Yeah.
Think about how regretful you're going to be if you don't pursue that. You know, and
that's right.
And the very, very first quote at the very opening of my first chapter in this book is from Arthur Ashe, who said, you have to get to the stage in life where just going for it is more important than winning or losing. Just going for it.
You got to go for it. Just show up.
No regrets.
That's right.
And if you fail, eh.
Right, exactly. And as I was saying, my reflection is that I always thought it was fear of failure. And it really wasn't. It was actually courage. But I didn't call it courage because I didn't know it was courage. But it was just showing up and just not having any regret. Because I tell my sons today, I like being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And it's something that drives me, you know. And, you know, I have this new media career that who would have thought? And the fear or the courage, whatever one you want to use, helps me teach my sons to always take that chance, because you never want to look back and think.
You know, Marty, there are so many examples, but a recent one comes to mind. So as you know, I was at a black tie dinner at the Plaza Hotel last night. I was seated, as a presenter, I was seated next to Deborah Norville, who also serves on our board of the Broadcasters Foundation of America. Deborah Norville was fired from the Today Show. Last week, she celebrated her 30th anniversary as the anchor of Inside Edition.
Wow.
She's the longest-running network anchor on television today. Overcoming adversity.
It's fantastic.
Moving on. I mean, there are so many examples of that we can draw on and learn from and be inspired by.
All right, it's time for our segment we call Moving the Chains, brought to you by Noble. It's a footwear brand built for training, daily life, supporting you in your pursuit of both physical, mental, and emotional strength. In this segment, we ask our guest today, Ray Cole, how do they get better every day, just a little bit? So, Ray, tell me, what is that one non-negotiable that helps you move your day forward?
I think it's to remember to show gratitude, which is something that I think has to be done on a daily basis. You know, you and I have a common mutual friend in Chris Fowler. For those of your viewers who know, Chris is the lead announcer on college football. He's the lead announcer for
tennis.
For all the tennis major championships. This is what he said about gratitude for my book when we interviewed him. He said, it's one of the things that people who have been very successful demonstrate. And not just successful financially, but successful in terms of living a life worth emulating and admiring. They are grateful. They understand that with gratitude comes the opportunity to give back and help others who are less fortunate, others who need help. I just think when you operate from that place of gratitude, feelings like compassion, which lead to giving and generosity, can spring forward. Mm. So I'll rely on our friend, Chris Fowler, to convey more eloquently than I could the importance of gratitude.
And Chris is a dear friend and a mentor, and I see him in his daily actions, how he is so kind, going back to kindness.
He is.
People stop him on the street all the time for that picture, for that, you know, for that autograph, whatever. He always stops, and he thanks them. He thanks them for interrupting him. Yeah, sure. Thank you. And I found that his work ethic is tremendous, and I love how your decision to start your day to move it forward was gratitude. And oftentimes when we go to the gym to start a day off, sometimes the best way to start your workout is to be grateful that you're there and you made it to the gym to move it forward. I want to remind you of something that you did for me. So
did I pick up a check?
No, I'm still waiting for that. I debuted on live television, ABC Game of the Week, with on the broadcast team of Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. And during one of the games, Ohio State versus Michigan State, there was an extended timeout where I was on air longer than normal discussing what was going on and my perspective from being on the field and what could be happening, what they were worried about. The athlete had to be transported off the field. And there was a nice banter between myself, Kirk, and Chris, and also Sports Center, you know, the right back at ESPN. We come going back and
forth. It went back to the studio show.
It went back to the studio, exactly. And I just found it like, you know, just a day at the office. I didn't know that was going to happen. I just did what I was supposed to do. And then I got a text from my agent. Then I got a call from Ed Placey, the famed executive producer from ESPN. Hey, Ray Cole's talking about you. Really? Who's Ray Cole?
My wife asked that question.
And I'm like, if Ray Cole's talking about you, this is a big deal. And you had mentioned to me that you felt that sports injury analyst during a live game, like the rules analyst, was additive to the broadcast. And I can't thank you enough. You, like I said to you at the beginning of this of our show, you the OG with recognizing. And you went out of your way. You've never met me. You just saw me. And you recognize me so much so that all the folks that I am reporting to that are my mentors that I respect and trust were saying, Ray was talking about you. And I remember reaching out to you and thanked you so much for that.
That was the first time we ever connected. So I want to talk about that a minute. I'm a sports fan like you, and sports injuries have risen in prominence in terms of their visibility. And I mean, just looking, as we sit here today, LeBron James is out with a serious injury. I saw last night on an interview you did that everybody's saying 2 weeks. You think it could be 4 to 6, given his age and his history.
That's right.
And injuries are important, and especially in football, which is the game you were working, a college football game. I'm watching as a fan and as a viewer. I didn't know you, but I saw what you contributed to the broadcast and what I shared. I think it was on social media, I guess, is what somebody, where the Ed Places of the world must have seen it. Because I know I talked with Chris Fowler about it afterwards as well, that your role was an important one to add context to what we were seeing on the field, because that was a very serious injury that day. And in a day where football in particular is finally showing the proper deference to injuries, head injuries. You know, I played in a golf event many years with the great Nick Bonacani.
Sure.
And I saw this great Hall of Fame football player played on that great Dolphins team, the only one to ever go undefeated through an entire season, the Don Shula team. And to see him be impacted late in his life and eventually succumb to CTE was hard to watch. And so I think it's terrific that whether it's the professional leagues or at the NCAA level, we're showing greater concern for injuries. And the ability for people like you, Marty, to bring insights and share with people. And you're always very careful not to project too much, not to you qualify things, which I appreciate as well, because not every analyst, not every sideline commentator does that. I guess what I'm telling you is I reacted to you just viscerally in a way where I really appreciated what you were doing for me as a viewer.
And I can't thank you enough, because what it meant for me is that it validated that I was onto something. Because I was considered the first and didn't realize I was the first until someone told me I was the first. And it was Ed Placey that told me. He goes, you are the Mike Pereira of sports injury analysts. And your comment sparked a big debate and conversation within the powers that be at ESPN. They were always worried that I might speculate, or even a sideline reporter. They were always worried about speculation. And the wonderful thing about the courage you gave me with your comment was I said to them, the reason why you have me here is because if I don't speculate, I'm not doing my job. Because when I'm running on the field to take care of that athlete who might be face down and he cannot talk to me, if I'm not speculating, I may not be able to help him in any way. So I am running out there speculating because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Right. And they appreciated that I'm not going to diagnose on there, but I'm going to tell you what we're thinking about, what the potential dangers are, and always reassure the viewers that he's in good hands.
Marty, thank you for walking me down memory lane to when we first connected and sharing that with me, because I was not aware of any of that backstory till right now. That's pretty awesome. Thank you.
No question. And so awesome for me. Okay, I need 2 minutes on the clock. Our final segment. This is where we give you, what do you call, 30,000-foot questions. These small questions that make you think and reflect just a little bit. They don't get too deep. We only got 2 minutes. You ready?
Ready.
All right, 2 minute drill. Tom Brady, thinking like Tom Brady? You got
it? All right. How many timeouts do I have?
One.
Oh, okay. One. Let's go.
You have, all right, maybe less.
I can't afford any sacks.
No Justin Tuck here. Okay. You have the honor of sitting with 18-year-old Ray. What are you telling him?
I tell Ray that there's an old Chinese proverb that reads, pearls don't lie on the seashore. If you want one, you must dive for it. And always remember to have a dream, to have an objective, to work hard, to bring the requisite grit, determination to pursuing that dream, and to dive in.
Show up. What does living the good life mean to you?
It's being around committed colleagues, it's being around caring friends, and it's being around loving family. I can't say it any better than that.
You wrote this, pearls of wisdom for so many people of any age in the industry. At the end of the day, because now you've been able to reflect back what people are taking from this. And I know I've shared what I've taken from it. What does it take to be a winner?
I said earlier, it's a very subjective thing. When I speak, I always end up with a quote. There was one person who was the most difficult interview, and I know her well. It's Diane Sawyer. Because Diane Sawyer was put off by the concept of the book, and she was very candid. She says, Ray, I don't think in terms of winning or being a winner, because the antithesis of the word winner is loser, and that's a word that's not in my vocabulary. I detest that word. And so I said, oh, just bear with me. We'll sort of go through this. And she engaged, and then she said the following. Okay, Ray, winning. It's about the moment when your purpose meets joy, when you feel that you've really delivered on something you care about, where you get to wake up every day and the thing you want to do is the thing you get to do. And then all of that somehow makes the world better.
Well,
I go, Diane, you just gave me the perfect summation of what it is to be a winner.
Well, Ray, I woke up this morning doing what I love to do, and I had the honor of having this wonderful chat with you. Thank you.
It's been a blast.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.